We are finishing up a series today called Salt and Light. Over the last couple weeks, if you've not been here, or a reminder for those that have, we have been learning about the call that Jesus gives to the church, which is all of us, to go be salt and light. Last week, we heard that we're to be salt, which means we are to preserve and bring purity into the world. Salt preserves what is good and gets rid of what corrupts and what brings disease. And in our world, that's sin. And so we are a representation of God's goodness and grace in this world. And then a couple weeks ago, we learned about what it means to be the light, that we're supposed to share our story, that each of us has a story, and we can share that with other people, that we are to be a light, expressing the light of the love of Jesus to the world around us. So instead of doing another message on looking at that scripture and let's talk about it, we want to show you and help equip you for how you can go out and do that yourself. We want to give you a couple tools for how you can go and share your own faith. Before I do that, if you've got your Bible, open up to Matthew 5. If you've got your phone, go to Matthew 5. I want us to read this verse again from the Sermon on the Mount that talks about salt and light so that we can get the context of what Jesus is saying. So Matthew 5, verse 13, says this: "You are the salt of the earth." This is Jesus talking. "But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown down and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." We just sang these songs that into this marvelous light I'm running, and that we want God to forever reign in our lives and be the light in our lives. And it is one thing to sing it here, and it's another to live that outside of these walls. So we want to give you a couple things that if it comes up in conversation, or if by the Spirit of the Lord you have an opportunity, and through boldness and being courageous, you can share your faith. How do you do that? So the first one we're going to show you is something called the bridge illustration. Hannah's going to come up here in a sec, and she's going to talk about how we can, through scripture, through verses, we can write something down on a piece of paper or in a napkin or in something you've got. So each of you has a piece of paper. And while she's talking, hopefully everyone has a pen or at least someone around has a pen. Draw with her, okay? This is not something just to doodle on. This is something for you to prepare yourself to be able to do the same thing with someone else, even hopefully this week, but somebody in the future, all right? Then what's going to happen is we're going to teach you how to share your story. You're gonna see a couple examples of that, and then someone is gonna say, "Hey, how do I share what God's done in my life, my testimony of where I was, how I met Jesus, and how my life is now after Jesus?" So we're excited to do that with you this morning, and then hopefully you guys will have an opportunity to practice that as well. So welcome up with me, Miss Hannah Pratz. Let's try that one more time. Give it up for Miss Hannah Pratz.
So like Harrison said, there we go. This is all up in my hair. Like Harrison said, I'm just going to go ahead and teach y'all a tool to be able to share the gospel. And so this is called a one-verse bridge illustration. And so some of you may have already learned this before somewhere else, and that's awesome. And there are about 600 different ways to do this illustration. And so if you know it a different way than what I'm about to teach it, just keep doing you. Keep doing it the way that you've done it. You don't have to switch just because we showed you a different way at Wake today. And so on your piece of paper, go ahead and write this verse down. hopefully you guys all already have it memorized because it was one of our memory minute verses a couple months ago. So I'm sure everyone remembered it. And so this illustration is great for whenever you're at the lunch table at school or you're on the way to play your soccer game or wherever you are. It's a quick illustration to be able to share the gospel. And so really all you need to know is this one verse to be able to do it. But throughout the illustration, I'm going to share with you a couple other verses just to spice it up a little bit and to enhance what I'm going to say. And so go ahead and write this down if you haven't already. Okay, so when you first start to share this illustration with somebody, you're going to explain that there's God. So you're going to write God on the right-hand side, and then you're going to come over here and you're going to write man on the left-hand side. And you're going to explain that God created man with relationship in mind. So God created us to be in relationship with himself. But in Genesis 3, it talks about how sin entered into the world, and it fractured that relationship between man and God, and it caused a separation between us. And so you're going to draw what looks like two cliffs separating man and God. So go ahead and do that. It doesn't have to look awesome or perfect. If you want to, some people draw a stick man right here. Whatever you're into, whatever you want to do. Okay, and so then you're gonna look back up at the verse. And so it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." And so you're going to pick out the first three main words in this verse. And so those three main words are wages. You're going to circle wages, sin, I can barely reach this, and death. So you're going to circle those three words, and then you're going to write those on man's side. So you're going to write wages, you're going to write sin, and you're going to write death. So go ahead and do that. And then once you've circled and wrote those three words down, you're just going to walk them through what each three of these words mean. And so who knows what a wage is? Anyone? It's kind of a tricky word. So a couple people? Yeah, what would you say a wage is?
Like a payment.
Yeah, a payment. So I like to think of it as minimum wage. And so if you have a job in high school, I don't know if people have jobs in high school, but if you do have a job in high school, you'll probably work like at McDonald's. I don't know. No one's probably going to work at McDonald's, but if you do, that's great. So if you work at McDonald's or if you work like at a snow cone stand in the summer, you're probably going to make minimum wage. That's the way I like to think of it. And she was right. It's a payment or something that you earn. And so that's what a wage is. And then the next word that we see here is sin. And so who knows what sin is? Can someone give me a definition for what sin is? Anyone? No? So sin is the things that we do against God. So it could be a thought, your actions, or words. And so who knows Romans 3:23? Anyone? What does it say? Yeah, so Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." And so I'm going to go ahead and write Romans 3:23 here just to help me remember what verses I've said. And there's another verse in Isaiah, Isaiah 53:6, that says, "We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." So I'll write that there, too. So Isaiah 53, that's a horrible three, 53:6. So what those verses are trying to say is that every single one of us have sinned. So every single one of us are over on this side. I've sinned, you've sinned, Harrison sinned, Todd Wagner sinned, your parents have sinned. Everyone has sinned. No one hasn't sinned. And so that's what that's trying to say. And then the next word we see here is death. And so the Bible talks about two different kinds of death. It talks about a physical death, which is where you legitimately die. And then there's another kind of death talked about in the Bible, and it's a spiritual death. And so a spiritual death can just be categorized or can be defined as an eternal separation between man and God. So eternal separation, you can write here. And this just shows that that it's always going to be like this up to this point. So we're always going to be separated from God because of our sins. And so if you're looking at this, you're probably thinking, wow, like you said I'm over on this side, and that doesn't look very good for me. That looks pretty bad. I've sinned, and so I'm going to face this eternal separation between man and God. Hebrews 9:27 says, "Just as man is destined to die, and then after that face judgment." And so we're all going to die, and we're all going to be, we're all going to face judgment. And so, like I said, if you're looking at this, you're like, man, that's not good news. That's bad news for me. But luckily, in this verse, you point out that there's a but here. And so, whenever someone was explaining this to me, they said, that's the biggest but in the Bible. The most important but is right there in that verse. And so whenever you see but in a sentence, it usually means that there's a contrast coming. And so that contrast is where we're going to move over to God's side of this equation. And so the next three words that we're going to circle are free gift, God, and eternal life, which that's really five words, but three kind of words. So we're going to write free gift here. God, and then eternal life. So now you're going to walk them through these three words. And so free gift, when I think of free gift, I think of your birthday. I think about how you didn't do anything to deserve gifts on your birthday. People just love you, and so they give you gifts, which is pretty awesome. Is anyone celebrating a birthday today? No one? Someone, is it your birthday? Okay, because you were going to have to come up here and sing happy birthday to yourself, but I guess no one has to do that now. And so a free gift, you don't do anything to deserve it, it's just given to you out of love. And then the next word says God, and so this verse says the free gift of God. So this free gift comes from God, it can't come from anywhere else. And then the next word we see here is eternal life. And so if death is an eternal separation, eternal life means getting to be with God forever. And so now we see both sides of the equation. And if you're like me, you're like, okay, we just talked about how it's on this side, and so I really want to know how I can get over to this side, because this side's not looking too great. And so I'll go ahead and tell you some ways that you can't get over to God's side. You can't get over to God's side by doing good things. You can't get over to God's side by going to wake, so I'll write that down. You can't get over to God's side by going to Dallas Experience. It's not going to cut it. You can't get over to God's side by growing up in a Christian family, obeying your parents, anything like that. You can't get over to God's side for that. And some verses that talk about that are Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Does anyone know that verse? No one? It says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, not by works, so that no one may boast." And so it says, like, hey, you're saved not by works. So you can write Ephesians 2, 8, 9 here if you want, just to help you remember. Another verse that says that is Titus 3, 5, which says, "He saved us not because of righteous things we have done, but because of his mercy." And so that just goes to show that, hey, we're not saved, or we don't get over to God's side, we don't get to experience eternal life because of the things that we do. And so you're like, okay, now I understand that I don't get to experience eternal life because of the things that I do, so how do I get to experience eternal life? And so we left out a pretty important part in this verse at the very end. And so it says, the free gift of God is eternal life in who? Christ Jesus. That's right. So we're going to circle Christ Jesus. And whenever you're sharing this with your friend, and you may say, hey, just what are some basic facts that you know about Jesus? And so what are some basic facts that you guys know about Jesus? Anyone? Like, he died on the cross for our sins? What else? Yeah. Yeah, he did miracles. He was born a fully man and fully God. He rose 3 days later. Kibet, do you have one? Yeah, he healed people. That's so right. So it's good just to hear them say like what they already know about Jesus, so that way you can either help them, you can describe Jesus to them, or you can maybe adjust some of the things that they may think are about Jesus that maybe not necessarily true. But all the ones that you guys said were great. And so you said he was born of a virgin. He was fully man and fully God. He lived a perfect life, and he died on the cross for our sins, and then rose again 3 days later, proving that he was who he said he was. And so you can go ahead and draw a cross in the middle. And you can write Jesus on that. So go ahead and do that. And so a verse that talks about this is Romans 5:8. Does anyone know Romans 5:8? No. It says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so that verse is saying that Jesus took on our sin and conquered death on our behalf. And so, which is awesome. That's so great. And then so you might be thinking, okay, awesome. Now there's a bridge. So how do I get to walk across the bridge? How do I get to be no longer be on that side, but walk this way towards God? And so it comes back to this idea of a free gift. So if I were to give you a gift, if I were to give you this pen, what would you have to do for it to be yours? Take it. Yeah, you'd have to accept it as a gift. And so that's the same as it is with this illustration, or with Jesus. And you have to accept him, a verse, or believe in him. A verse that talks about this is Romans 10:9. It says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved, or you will experience eternal life. And so to get from that side to this side, you just have to confess and believe. So that's Romans 10:9, or you have to accept the free gift, whichever way you want to say it. Both work great. And so that's the bridge illustration, but it's great because after you've done this, you can just say, like, hey, do you have any questions about this? Or is there anything holding you back from confessing and believing that Jesus is Lord and being able to be and being able to experience eternal life? And so it just leads you to a great opportunity to allow or to ask your friend that you're sharing with if they would like to make a decision to accept Jesus as Lord. And so you might be thinking, like, wow, like, that's just a little illustration. Like, I don't know if that really has the power to change lives. And you're right. This illustration doesn't have the power to change lives, but belief in Jesus does, and the Holy Spirit working in them does. And so you could share this with someone 100 times and be like, this is never going to work. And then that one time, the Holy Spirit moves in their heart, and they accept. And so it's just a great tool to be able to use to share the gospel with people. And so in a little while, you're going to have the opportunity, I think, maybe to share it with someone in here. But Harrison's going to come on up, and we're going to transition into sharing your testimony.
Y'all give it up for Hannah Pratz. Awesome job. Hopefully you guys took good notes, because again, just like she said, this is a tool that you can use. It's something that you can have in your mind to go, hey, can I share with you something? Let me show you what God has done for me. Can I show you? And you've got, I hope more than anything, you wrote these scriptures down. Because I don't know if you noticed, but Hannah had no Bible up here. Hannah had nothing in her hand. She wrote those verses and she quoted them. And many of them, she said, hey, this one you should know. We've done it in Memory Minute. And so these are good verses just to know the truth and to give an account for the hope that we have. So that's an awesome thing. Another way God writes his story all through Scripture. John, 20:31 says that I write these things to you so that you may believe in Jesus Christ and that you may have life in his name. So all through Scripture, you see God's story being written and revealed. He reveals himself through that. But another way he does that is he writes his story on our lives. We've heard about that. Jermaine taught about that a couple weeks ago. But in our lives, God is writing an individual story of his grace lived out in us. And so what we're going to do now is you're going to see some examples and be taught how you can share that story. First, Russell's going to come up and share just what's going on in his life. A way for someone to go, hey, how you doing? That's a layup to go, hey, can I? Well, I'll tell you how I'm doing. Maybe not good, but can I tell you how God is good in the midst of that? And so Russell's had some stuff going on, something that maybe some of you could even connect with. And he's going to just show, how do you share what's going on? And then John's going to teach, how do you share your testimony? And then you'll see a student do that in a little bit. So welcome up Russell Marks.
That was weak. Come on. What's up, Wake? So I wanted to share a little bit about what's been going on in my life over the past few weeks. But I think in order for y'all to appreciate and to get an understanding of where what's been going on, I need to share a little bit about myself and kind of my background and stuff like that. So there's really three components that you need to know about to get this story. And so the first is that my dad's side of the family is Jewish. They are practicing Jews. They are since, you know, they always have been, and my dad isn't a Christian. And so when we get together in family events, you know, it wouldn't be uncommon to have one or two Christians there with 20 or 30 Jews. And it's wonderful to spend time with them. I love my family dearly, but it's a fact. The second thing is that my parents' relationship is rocky at best. They don't really speak to each other, and when they do, it's usually just to throw a verbal jab or a verbal punch. So, you know, not a great relationship, and unfortunately, you know, divorce is probably in the near future. And then finally, I didn't grow up in a really overly Christian home. I would go to church occasionally, but by the time I hit high school, I pretty much stopped completely. By the time I was in college, I was way off the map, and only by the grace of Jesus did he call me home. So now we'll kind of jump into the story. So about 3 weeks ago on a Friday night, we found out that my grandmother's cancer came back for the third time. And this is on my dad's side, and unfortunately this time it's terminal, it's the end. She knows it's the end, we know it's the end. So we're in her last days now. And so with that, we got together as a family, and we got plane tickets, and we flew to Connecticut. So we bought those plane tickets that next day on Saturday, and so Sunday morning comes, and I'm getting ready to go to Wake. And my dad calls me, and he goes, "Hey, do you have a minute?" And I was like, "Yeah, what's up?" And he goes, "Hey, I know when I was growing up in synagogue, you know, they would offer general names for family members, or you could submit a request maybe for the rabbi to pray. Does your church do anything like that? Could you help? Like, could you do something?" And I go, "Dad, there's already 20-plus people who are actively praying, not for just grandma and grandmother's healing but believing that God's just going to do miracles through these days and that he is for us and he is for our family." And that just blew him away that this church and this body of believers would come around a family that they don't know, that it's not like everyone goes here to Watermark, it's just me. Yet there's people who are supporting us and praying for us. And he was just blown away by a love like that people would outwardly express that for us without, you know, even knowing us. And so, you know, I went to Wake, and then I usually go to the 5:30 service in the big church. And so at maybe 4 o'clock, my mom called me. And she's like, "Hey, I think that we may drive in." My parents live in Southlake. We may drive in and go to Watermark with you. I was like, "Wow, yeah, that's fantastic. Come along." I mean, they've seen, you know, my growth in my life and just what God's been doing. And so probably for the first time in quite a long time, not on Easter or Christmas, my mom and my little brother went to church. And, you know, we're just seeing those seeds planted now from what's happening. So to fast forward a few days, it becomes that Friday of that week, and we get on a plane and fly to New York and drive into Connecticut. And so we spend that Friday with my family and Saturday with my family, just enjoying each other's company. And everyone knows why we're there, and that time will come. But we're just, you know, enjoying community as a family. And so then Saturday night comes, and I've got an early flight home on Sunday. And so I know that this is the last time I'm going to see my grandmother alive. That reality really hits me. And here's this woman who has been in my life since day one, who has been there in my best times and my worst times, who has supported me, who's just so full of life, so full of laughter, so full of joy. And here she is just laying in her bed, just lifeless and just so sick and just helpless to this cancer that is killing her. And so, you know, I just see this and it just breaks my heart, because can I do something? Can I help her? I mean, I'm I'm 25 and healthy. Can I help her in some way? And the reality is there's nothing I can do, right? The breath of my life, the energy that I have, I can't help her. But we see in Scripture that Jesus can. We see in Scripture that Jesus does heal the sick, right? And so I spend some time with her just thinking about Scripture and thinking about just the Spirit of God and how it moves powerfully and how it's moved powerfully in my own life, how I was walking through life lifeless, like, you know, in a spiritual sense, and that I was dead and I couldn't see my own sin and I couldn't see where I was going, and yet Jesus breathed his life into me. He healed me, right? And so here I am just praying. And so, you know, at the end of our time together, I got to pray with my 90-year-old Jewish grandmother who was awake or asleep, you know, and it's tough to tell because of the medicine. And I just got a chance to pray with her. And the only thing I could do in those moments was pray in the name of Jesus. You know, this person that she doesn't know, that she doesn't really understand yet, how could I pray to God and ask for healing and ask for help and ask for his Spirit to move if I didn't pray in the name of Jesus, the only name that we see heals, the only name in life that I've ever experienced fullness in, the only name that actually works 100% of the time that I can put my faith in unequivocally. And so I got a chance to hold her hand and pray, and I walked out of that room a wreck. I walked out of that room an absolute mess. So I walked downstairs, and I just took a moment and prayed and got on my knees and prayed and said, Lord, I know that you comfort the brokenhearted. I know that you're there for those who are mourning, Lord, and you see me right now just as I am, as an absolute mess. And I just pray that your Spirit would just find me and just help me just be, Lord, just the person that you want me to be in these moments, Lord, with my family, and that you would just comfort me, Lord. And so I can't really tell you what happened in that next 30 minutes to an hour. I don't really remember, to be honest. But what I can tell you is at that point, at some point in that night, I went from being the one who needed to be comforted by my family members to the one who was the comforter for my family members. And it became a point where I was embracing my cousins as they went in and said goodbye to our grandmother for the last time, not because I sucked up my emotions or I quote unquote manned up and, you know, got through it, but solely because of the power of Christ and his ability to just work through me in that moment. And it was all of him and none of me. And I know that because when I'm weakest, he's strongest. In those moments, he was strong. And so So we went home, and that next week I was sitting there talking with my dad and just having a lighthearted conversation. And I said my parents' relationship isn't the best. And so my mom walked in and just gave a real zinger of a comment, if you will, to my dad. And it wasn't necessary, and it just really hurt him because it was about myself and my brothers, and he was really upset. And so she walked out to run some errands or something, but she threw that in there as she was walking out the door. And so for the first time I had, my dad goes, what do you think I can do about that? What do you think I can do to heal this broken heart, to mend this broken relationship? And so we talked, and, you know, we talked about something like re-engage through Watermark and professional help and humbling oneself. And we're going to continue this conversation, and I'm going to tell him, you know, that the one way that I know works is Jesus, and the one way that he can find healing is through Jesus. But, you know, within a matter of a week, I've had, you know, more spiritual conversations, more real family conversations than I've ever had with my elders in my family. And I just look at that, and I just see how God has taken brokenness and taken just absolute sorrow in my life, and there's seeds being planted. And I don't know what that moment's going to be like when I share the gospel with my dad, who was raised in a Jewish home, right? I don't imagine it'll be an embracing moment. It may be awkward, but you know what? how could I stand here? Next week is Easter. How could I stand here and say and raise my hand and say that death is overcome, that the grave is empty, that I have nothing to fear because of what Jesus has done, and then see my dad in a broken relationship and not share the gospel? How can I do that? I can't. I can't. If I honestly believe, and I do, that Jesus is the way, that I can put my hope in him, and then somebody comes to me and says, hey, I'm hurting. I need healing. What could I do? How can I not share the gospel? It would be terrible of me not to share this truth that we've been blessed with as believers. And so I would just challenge you, and I'm going to challenge myself in front of you, that next time I have that conversation with my father, even though he raised me, even though he's blessed me with so much, that when I have an opportunity to speak truth in my life, that the Holy Spirit would just move powerfully in those moments, not because I can, but because he can. And I would share the gospel, because that's what I believe. And with Easter coming around the corner, it's just such a great opportunity to just share with anybody who asks, with anything that comes up, that you've been made new because of the work of Christ on the cross. So that's what's been going on for me in my life over the past week or 2 weeks.
Wow, how powerful is that to hear just how amazing our God is and what he's doing in Russell's life and what he's doing in his family's life. And so I'm going to just talk with y'all briefly about how do you share your faith? You know, we all have a faith. We all believe something. And we all know who Jesus is, and that's what we're here about. So we're going to talk about how do you share your testimony this morning. And so one thing to know is that everybody has a story, and your story matters. When I was y'all's age, and probably up until the last 4 or 5 years, I didn't believe that my story was powerful enough. I was raised in a Christian home. I followed the rules. I was, I guess, what the most people would say was a pretty good Christian kid. And I didn't have this wonderful firework testimony that just, you know, really highlighted my past and just showed how much grace that I needed. And so I felt like my story wasn't good enough. And I'd come to church and I'd hear how crazy people's lives were and just the change of once they met Christ, what they were able to accomplish through him and how much their life transformed. But you know, I just after time just kind of figuring it out, like everybody's story is unique and everybody's story matters. And that's what I just started to realize, like, hey, my story does matter. And probably for a lot of you guys, you're going to be very similar to me, and you can relate with my story. And so your story does matter. And so this morning, we're going to talk about how do you share your testimony. And so one thing that you need to know is that what do you believe? What do you believe? If somebody comes up to you and says, hey, you're a Christian, why are you a Christian? You know, if probably when I was a little bit younger and y'all, my answer would be, I'm a Christian because I was raised in a church. But my family is Christian. That's who I am. That's my years and years ago, you know. But know your story. Know what makes you a Christian. Know Jesus. Know Scripture. Be prepared. In 1 Peter 3:15, it says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. So it is important to know your story and then share your story. So there's 3 steps into engage with people and share your story. The first step is engage. You got to get to know people. The second one is sharing, which we're going to be talking about. And the third one is inviting people. So when it comes to engaging, get to know the people that you're talking with. Your friends at school, your family members, whoever you want to share your testimony with, get to know them. People trust people they know. And so if you want them to listen to you, you got to engage them and show them that you care. Theodore Roosevelt said, nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care. So just engage in those conversations with your friends. Invite them to sit next to you at lunch. There's a new kid at school. Be their friend. Get to know them. Talk to them. The person that is not in the cool crowd and you are or whatnot, just invite them in. Talk to them. Get to know them, but engage them. The second thing that we're going to talk about is sharing. This is the main thing. 3 points here is life before Christ. So everybody had a life before Christ, and I know it's a little bit more difficult at your age to kind of relate with that. because you may have just become a Christian recently. But there is life before Christ and who you were. There's how you met Christ. You know, where did you meet Christ? How did you meet Christ? And then we're going to talk about life after Christ, all three very important things. And you can see on the bottom of this slide, there is a little chart there, and it's a bridge illustration. You know, before Christ, we were sinful people. We were rebellious. We were separated. On the right side, after Christ, and we can only get to God through Christ, we receive peace. We are forgiven. We have eternal life. And if you saw Hannah's illustration up here on the left side, she talked about wages, sin, and death. One of the great things about sharing your testimony, if you do the bridge illustration, you can write down words that are ways you felt when you were before Christ. So I was lonely, or I felt trapped, or I felt like there was no purpose in life. And on the right side of there, underneath God, you can write, I found freedom. I found life. So it's going to be the opposite of that. And so life before Christ, this is just a list of things that you can talk about. Like, who were you before Christ? Did you feel guilty about things? You couldn't get over guilt. Did you feel like there was no purpose in your life? You felt lonely or depressed, or something was missing, or you felt empty inside. There's just a fear of death. You know, what's next? There's just no meaning of life. And so think about those things. What were you like before Christ? And for me, it's man, I was self-righteous. I was prideful. I struggled with guilt. I didn't really know if I had a purpose in life. And then once I met Jesus and I became a Christian, everything changed and I felt like I had hope and I had life. And so when you met Christ, that's a big part of your testimony. So before you talk about who you were, man, I was depressed, or I was sad, I was lonely. And then you say, but I found Christ, and this is how I found Jesus. Who introduced you to Jesus, and what impact does that have in your life? And so did you meet Jesus at D-Town? Did you learn who he was at small group or from Wake? Or did your parents or a coach or a teacher or your grandparents, who is it in your life that told you about Jesus? Somebody said something and you heard it, right? So the important thing is if you've heard it, you need to share it. And that's the difficult part sometimes, because it can be very intimidating. But you must include the gospel when you do this. So the 4 points there is all have sinned, right? And it's a great illustration on the bridge to just write that out. Like, we all fall short of the glory of God. We all sin. There's a penalty for our sin. But fortunately, we have a God who sent his son Jesus to pay for that on the cross. And it's a free gift. So we could just, all we have to do is receive this, and we have life in Jesus. And so after that, it's who are you after Christ? And so you look at this slide here, it shows what difference has following Jesus made. So we talked about, this is who I was before Christ. I met Jesus through this person and I understood the gospel and I accepted Christ. And now, how does my life look different? For me, it's, I don't have as much pride in my life. I'm not as self-righteous. I don't see people through my life, my lens. I see people more through the way God wants me to see them. And I'm not perfect at that, but I try. So, I mean, before Christ, you know, I was rebellious. I would turn against God. I would go my own way over the Lord's way. But now it's, you know, I trust him. Now I rely on him. Now I'm fully surrendered to him. And so know your story. And it's very important that you can share your story. So the next slide here says to invite. So remember, we're going to engage, we're going to share, and we're going to invite. So we have an awesome church with a great amount of opportunities, small groups, D-Town, Dallas Experience, Wednesday night groups, Wake here on Sundays. Invite your friends to come and tell them about who Jesus is. So engage, share, and invite. And remember to share who you were before, who you are now. It's so important. And then there's no wrong way to share your faith. You can't do it wrong because your story is unique. God made your story completely unique. So there's nothing that you can say that anybody can argue because it's your story. So know your story and share it and just be bold at it. And so I'm very thankful that today we've got Samantha, when you start heading up here, an eighth grader is going to share her story. And it's just so impressive to just witness this. So.
Hi guys, I'm Samantha Silva and I'm in eighth grade at Lake Highlands Junior High. I've never remembered a time that I didn't know about Jesus, and I accepted him as my savior at a young age. But going from elementary school to junior high was a big jump, and it can be a tough time. For the first time, I realized what it meant to be tempted by the world. I still had a relationship with Christ, but suddenly I wanted everyone to like me. I wanted attention from guys, and I wanted to be in the center of attention, or at least be in on gossip. And to get to that position of what I viewed as perfection, I compared myself to others. I found myself constantly comparing, which led to me judging or wishing I could be just like this or that person. Instead of longing for the heart of people, I could have been longing for the heart of Jesus. Last year at Dallas Experience, I realized how much I compared wherever I was, whether it was at school or church, among my friends. Realizing my sin was a big step for me, but I still struggled to stop. This year has been a big turning point in my faith for me, and I've learned so much more about what it means to really follow Jesus. I have been reading through the Old Testament with Join the Journey, and going into it, I was pretty bored by it, and I doubted how it could relate to me. So far, it has been a whole lot about the Israelites. Despite being God's chosen people, the Israelites were extremely rebellious. The Israelites' past is a mixture of on and off trusting God. They started out following God's ways, but they turn from him, and he again lets them fall into their enemies' hands. They go from prosperity and peace to slavery again and again. Then, when God can't bear to watch their despair, abuse, and need for him any longer, he sends someone to save them and bring them back to him. This continues until God sends Jesus, who fulfills the prophecies, and God provides salvation, not only for his chosen people, but for all of us, once and for all. When I see God's crazy love for his people and how faithful the Lord is, I know I can trust him. Instead of looking for the approval of man, I can just look to please a God who has an unconditional love for me and will always pursue me, because he's the only one who can fill my desire to be loved. I don't have to find the best way to raise myself above others or put myself on a pedestal for what I do. Instead, I can give the glory to a Father who loves me and just calls me to chase after him instead of chasing after something that the world can never even offer. Galatians 1:10 says this: "Am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. I have found that serving him is so much more rewarding than serving myself. I know that if I didn't know Christ, I would be so lost in a world of never being able to have everyone like me, and I would have no clue who I am. I choose Jesus to be my king because he died for me so that I would get to spend eternity with him. I'm not to the point I want to be at yet, and I still doubt and have these insecurities, but I know for a fact that Jesus is more than enough for me. Thanks."
Thank you, Samantha. That is a great example of somebody sharing their story. Now, she had a chance to prepare for that, and Russell had a chance to prepare for that. And you may not go, hey, I could share all of that right now, but each of you guys do have a story. And I hope you heard in there that when she was sharing about her life growing up, her life now, even wrestling with where she is, she shared scripture. She shared the gospel in that. She took the time to not just go, oh, here's what I do in life, but here is how Jesus affects my life. And each of us have a story similar to that, different than that. It's your story. And some of you may go, hey, here's how Jesus changed my life. Some of you may go, hey, I don't think I know Jesus yet. That's still a part of your story. So we're going to challenge you right now to break up, to partner, to get together with two or three people. So no more than three in a group. And we're going to challenge you to share your story. Why would you leave here and go share with somebody else if you can't even get over the fear of doing it here? So this is a safe place. This is a place where we know at least some of each other. So we're going to take a few minutes with what we've got left to partner up. This is not just to chit-chat or to do whatever you want or to keep drawing. We're going to have leaders walking around and make sure that you share your testimony. Practice. It's okay. The more you do it, the better you will be at it. So get together with two or three people and start sharing your story.